decisions we make, we don't know whether they're right or wrong because there's no precedent. We got to follow the rules of the land if we can, and yet follow the ways of God. And sometimes the two of them don't meet. So then you have to make your choice. Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. But thanks for being out, everybody. And I sure appreciate you being here. Without question, and I said this at the beginning of the service, but without question, we view church as an essential service. We have been told by God to meet together, right? Forsake not the assembly, he says. And when you come together, he says. You know? So it's important that we have this time together. It's important that we follow what he wants us to follow. The Chinese church, for years, were told that they could not meet. It was illegal for them to meet. There was a legal church, a government-sponsored church, but that government-sponsored church did what the government told them to do. And often that didn't comply with the Word of God, or didn't jive with the Word of God. So they met, and they met secretly, clandestinely, in caves, in forests. They would meet in small groups in homes, and it was all against the purposes of the governing bodies. Now, we don't want to be in that kind of a position. We want to honor the government here. But it may come down to it. You know, I don't know what's coming through this thing. And so we're going to have to be paying attention to what we hear and have a discerning heart to discern the spirit of the day, the spirit of the age, and the spirit of God. And to always follow the Spirit of God. That Chinese church, if you had a chance to read or hear from Brother Yun, who was one of the leaders of the church there, he was in charge of, you know, 1 million or 2 million or whatever number of people they had at the time. He was called the Heavenly Man. Do you remember the book, The Heavenly Man? He also spoke over here and spoke around the world. Amazing guy. And he was arrested a number of times for breaking the law. He was ratted out by people in his congregation as a lawbreaker and had to go to jail. He broke out of jail so many times, like not like he wanted to break out. It's just like they'd leave the door open for him and he'd walk out. There was lots of examples of him just moving away from the prison. And so they broke his legs, both legs, so that he couldn't do that. We'll get you for running away from us. And so miraculously, his legs healed, and he walked out again. while he was in prison, the clamor and clatter of people and what they were saying and the negative voices that he was hearing was too much for him at times. So he volunteered to clean out the latrine. Now what that is like some wooden benches with holes in them that drop into a big pit. And so he would go into the pit to clean all of this stuff out. And he was up to his chest in the stuff. But what that allowed him was, after he'd finished gagging and whatever, it allowed him solitude where he could hear from God. And the price that he had to pay, he felt was worth it, to hear from God in this time. so that he could lead the people. And he would be assured that he was doing what God wanted him to do. Am I advocating that we do that? No, honey, we're not. Thank God we don't have latrines like that. I'm not advocating for that. Especially, yeah, the government lets us meet. And at this point in time, this is March 22nd, and we say hi to everybody that's listening or watching on another date or another time. We miss you here. But we have maybe 30 people here, and we're well distant from one another. We have at least 6 feet between each person. Everything is clean here, sanitized, and we're trying to do it right and yet follow the dictates of God. And that's very important. But we don't know what's coming down the pipe. And so pay attention, please. These are important times. And God has entrusted these times to us. We're his hand-picked army for this time. Is it end times? I believe in my heart it is. But might not be. The church fathers felt that it was end times at that time. Is that working? So I had this wonderful sermon prepared for you. It was going to be out of 1 Samuel. And I may refer back to it a little bit, but we'll see. What I want to talk to you about instead, if you want to turn with me to Mark 4:24. This came to me as I was preparing to come upstairs. So 20 minutes before, I felt like God said, no, preach on this, which is totally different than what we'd been preparing for, he and I thought. And I've learned to trust him, so let's see what he's got for us. Let's actually start in verse 21. Mark 4:21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest or to be made seen, right? Nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So in context, he continues. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. We'll break that out in just a minute. But he's talking about hearing here. He's not talking about land and goods. He's talking about what you're hearing and paying attention to it, and whatever you're giving your ear to, you're going to get more of that. And what little you have on the other side, that will be taken away. So let's carry on and read from 26 down to 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Oh, thank you for your word, Lord. We were made for a time like this. Last week I talked about paying attention to Jesus, that he needs to be our focus. Not the virus, not the news services, not the people around us, but Jesus needs to be our focus. And at this time, lots of us have extra time. We're self-isolating for the most part. And so we have time, if we wish, to move away from entertainment and into the Word of God, into hearing His Word, into the things that God is actually doing and that God has called us to. And we need to apply ourselves to that because it's imperative for the people that are going to come into the kingdom, for them to come to a people who know their God. Not into a kingdom full of people that know the news. Not into a kingdom of people that are afraid. But to a kingdom people of faith. And so he says, is a lamp put under a basket? You don't put... It's against reason. It's against logic to put a lamp under a basket because it takes away all the light. You are the light of the world. Jesus said he is the light of the world, but he now lives in us. He lives in each one of us. And so we become the light of the world. And so what this time and this place has done is put us all under a basket. Stay in your house. If you want an excursion, plan the weekend to move from the kitchen into the bedroom. That's as far as you can go. Do not interact with anybody. Do not come into contact with anybody. Stay away from people. Now, does that sound like God's plan? It doesn't sound like God's plan to me. And so what they've asked us to do is put our lamp under a basket. Don't do what you've been called to do. Don't do the things that God has called you to do. Now, am I asking you to be stupid and go out there and call meetings together where everybody gathers and you're more than the government would allow us to do? I'm not asking you to do that, but I'm asking you to pay attention because your light is going to get a chance to shine in this time. There are incredibly huge number of ways that we can interact with people around us. We can communicate by phone, by computer, without touching anybody. You can call people as God has touched your heart about them. People that you may not have called for a long time. Just to check up on them, just to see how they're doing, and then share a little bit of God with them. Just something in your testimony. Well, I went to church on Sunday. Oh, they still allow church? Yeah, well, a little. Well, what was that like? What was it like for you? Well, it's amazing because his presence was there. Did you feel his presence this morning? It was delightful. It was encouraging. It was uplifting and wonderful. We can reach out to people. As you move through this time, and this time will be extended. We know that, right? It's not just 14 days of isolation. They're going to extend that because they're going to say, well, no, as soon as everybody comes out of that, then we're in the same pickle again, and everybody's going to get sick. So you got to stay in under your basket for much longer. Keep your light hidden for another month at this point, or whatever it is. I don't know what their plan is. They stopped sending me their memos. But God says, you're not made for that. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And you, and you. He has risen in you and on you. You carry the very glory of God with you. How can we keep that hidden? But I can't go out, Pastor. You can't. But watch what God does. Oh, suddenly my furnace broke down and a furnace repair guy came in and he wasn't a believer. So I talked to him. He's now a believer. You know, like, what's he going to do? What's it going to take? Usually there's a cost to us somehow. There's a cost to do the right thing always. But that cost will be more than worth it. Whatever it is he's asked us to do. So we look at this, everything that is secret is made to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. This is verse 24 of Matthew 4, or Mark 4, sorry. Pay attention to what you hear. Now, this is a kingdom principle here. Pay attention to what you're hearing. The principle is, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, you have a choice. What do I turn on? What do I listen to? What do I allow myself to have access to my ear gates, to my eye gates? Well, we're talking about ear gates here. We're talking about hearing. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Is it also fair to say that fear cometh by hearing? That's not in the word. I'm not adding to the word. But most of the time when you've been afraid, it started with something you heard. And so you open yourself and the gates of your being to something. So you're listening to the news all day? With that measure, whatever it is that you're listening to there, it will be measured back to you. So you'll get more of it and more of it. So you say, well, I only listened to an hour of it, but it repeats in you. And you get more and more and more of it. Fear cometh through what you've heard. And look around you and see how many people are incredibly fearful in this day. This is a time when the people of faith must rise up. It's imperative. There is a light and dark battle happening right now. More people are anxious than ever before. Panic attacks are running rampant. People calling the hotlines because they can't figure out what to do, and they're afraid. Very afraid. People that will not leave their homes because they are afraid. What have they been filling their heads with? Where has the measure come from? The measure that you use, well, I only allowed myself an hour of that stuff. It will be measured back to you. So it comes back again and again and again. Still more, it says, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. So if you have fear from listening to those things, more fear will be given to you. Isn't that great? You could become a wealthy, fearful person. I have lots of fear. You'll find new fears coming upon you all the time. New ways to be afraid. But the converse of that is even more true. Yes. If you will expose yourself to the Word of God, and there are hundreds of ways to do that. This is a time in history when we have world-class preachers available at the touch of a button. They will come right into your home and share with you truths of the Word. They will read to you the very Bible itself. in your home. And you can make the choice to allow faith to come into your ear gates. You can allow faith to come in, and with that measure, let it be added to you. For you have a little faith, it more and more faith will come. And you will find yourself growing in faith instead of the opposite of that. Everywhere you go, you can listen to worship music, excellent, excellent preaching, excellent teaching programs. They're all available to us like never before. But at this time, we want to not be foolish and make sure that we've got the latest news. I present to you that I think that you're being foolish by listening to that. Be aware. I don't have any problem with that. You want to be aware. But don't let it run your day and thereby run your life. Let the Word of God be richly deposited into the soil of your heart. Now listen to what he says here. Verse 26. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. And he knows not how. Now, do you catch what that's saying? Do you understand fully how the seed is interacting with the soil and the chemical interaction there and a little bit of water and how that grows? Do you understand the biology of that, the botany of that? Do you understand the chemical interactions that are happening there? I bet you do not. You know not what's going on. And yet it happens. Do you know what happens when you put the Word of God in you? Exactly the same thing as when you put a seed in the ground. Nothing's happening. Look at that. I put that in there and I don't see one green thing coming. It's been 20 minutes already and nothing's happening. Maybe I should dig it up. That seed's no darn good. I'm going to go look elsewhere. It's that way with the Word of God. We read it and, well, Pastor, I read it and it just doesn't do anything for me. It does so. It does something. You are sowing seeds into your heart, and those seeds will grow, you know not how. He waters it for us. The guy sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself. He's talking in context about what we're hearing. Just what we're hearing. It grows by itself. The soil is our heart. What is it that we're planting in there? What are you sowing into that fertile heart soil that you've been entrusted with? What seeds are you putting there? Are you putting seeds of discontent? Are you putting seeds of fear, doubt, anxiety, worry? Or are you filling it with seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control? There is no law against those things. They grow. We know not how. And produces by itself, first a blade, then an ear, then a full grain in the ear. Imagine the multiplication factor. You put one piece of corn in. We were talking, Dominic and I were talking the other day about, you put one piece of corn into the ground, and before you know it, you've got 3 or 4 or 5 cobs of corn, each of them with more than 100 kernels. Imagine the multiplication that's happening there. Did you do it with your expert husbandry, gardening techniques? The earth grew it because God ordained it. One little seed of the word. What's it going to do? What is it going to bring for harvest? The harvest has come. Will we but listen to him in this time? This is a time when he's given us a time where we can actually reflect. It's an unusual time. We don't know what to do with this time. We've never done it before. We have worked very hard at staying busy. I was on my way home last night. I was looking for a parking spot because everybody's staying home, so there's hardly any parking on the street anymore. And so I'm slowing down to look, and this guy in this Beamer comes up behind me. What? I'm just looking. And there's no place for him to pass me, of course. And so I just put on the brakes and stopped. So he laid on the horn way more and started making gestures toward me. Yeah, saying I was number one. And so I waved at him and I said, bless you too. So I took off and just drove up and around the corner because I spotted a spot that I could park in. And man, this guy was in a hurry. This guy's in a hurry. Now, I looked around and there was no smoke, so his house wasn't on fire. It was a really nice car, so, I'm sure that he's really important. Had to get home so that the world doesn't fall apart. I mean, he couldn't give his neighbor 15 seconds. There's something the matter with that. And we're so busy making ourselves that busy that we don't have 15 seconds for our neighbor. A little patience. A little understanding. He didn't know that I was a senior citizen pastor. I'm sure he would have been much kinder to me. I also outweighed him by about three times. We've gotten so good at being busy, even us in the church, that we don't know how to just be with God anymore. Let us reclaim that. Let us investigate that again. Now, how was it that Pastor said I should soak? I don't remember, so I go watch TV. Move into it. The Holy Spirit will teach. The Holy Spirit will give you guidance. The Holy Spirit will show you the way that you should go. This is an unusual time. Will we redeem it? Is it a time when God will say, well, I gave you all this time, and now the harvest is upon us. People are coming in, and are you ready? Are you ready for the harvest? Well, no, I was sort of busy, Lord. I had to watch the news. I had to prepare my house with toilet paper walls. Are we listening to him in this day? Are we honing our hearing? Are we redeeming the time? He will bring people to your doorstep if you ask. There's lots of stories out there of people that couldn't get out of their beds, and so they asked God, will you bring somebody? And every day, God would bring somebody for a different reason to their door, and they'd be able to share the gospel with them. But you don't, if it freaks you out to share the gospel, just be thankful and appreciative. Your neighbors may not know you. Write them a little note. I'm just concerned for you. If there's anything I can pray for, here's my phone number. Give me a call. It's just that easy. Because people are freaked out. They got somebody to pray for them. They're going to call you. If you see a service worker, a policeman or a fireman or an ambulance driver or any of the people that are out there serving us, say thank you. A little gratitude in this time. They're people just like us. And I'm sure they're as freaked out as anybody else, you know, because they're doing this stuff and then they're taking it home to their households, the people they care most about. So tell them you'll pray for them too. Prayer is a wonderful gift in this time. More and more people are going to turn to it. This is a time when we get a chance to ride the wave of what God is bringing. It looks like the enemies brought this thing. Yeah, but watch God redeem it. He's a God of redemption. He is amazing in all of his ways. And he's going to make this the most wonderful time. The most wonderful thing. Now, I am not asking you to be unwise. John G. Lake, I think I talked about him a little bit last week, but John G. Lake, when he was in South Africa, the healings that they were seeing were phenomenal, but not everybody was healed. They put the bubonic plague active virus in his hand, and he held it, and it all died in his hand. It didn't spread. He didn't get the bubonic plague. He was safe from it the whole time. But do you know that John G. Lake's wife, who was busy feeding the poor, died of malnutrition in South Africa? Now, that's just not right. There's something wrong with that picture. We need to be wise as we move with God. Even the anointed needs to pay attention to what's happening around him. Listen to the Lord. Pay attention to his word. Listen for his direction. This is a wonderful time, a time of opportunity, a time when we can see things progress for the kingdom. I don't think things are getting better. I don't. I know some people do in this time, but I see things dark out there, and they're wanting the light. The people want the light. Who is the light? You are the light. You carry the light of Christ everywhere you go. Will you be a responsible steward in this time? Whatever measure you make, like I think what we read is just so abundantly clear. Whatever you're allowing in is going to multiply in your brain. Whatever you're hearing is going to mushroom, and you're going to have more and more of that. Listen to edifying, uplifting stuff in this time, and you will come out of this a rich person in Christ. You will come out of this not losing, but gaining. The whole world is fearful. There's a poverty spirit that's come on us all, that the economy's falling, it's tanking. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. You know, we'll never recover from this economically. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to prosper. I would that you have life and have it abundantly. That hasn't changed just because the news says it has. What will we do with what we've been given? Will we hide it? The guy with the one talent buried it. He kept it safe. So are you keeping safe what God gave you? Or are you moving in faith? Moving with courage. I had a mental block just there. Who's the guy that wrote The Old Man and the Sea?
Hemingway.
They asked him what... He describes that what the world needs is people with guts. And they said, well, what is guts to you? Can you define it? He said, guts is grace under pressure. And the president, John Kennedy, when he wrote a book, he quoted that, but he substituted guts and courage. He said, courage is grace under pressure. We live with grace. The grace of God is with us. And has there been a time when we have been more under pressure than now? Move with courage in this season. Move with the assurance. Faith takes a leap of not knowing, a leap of faith, and a trust that God will be with you. You'll learn to hear His voice. You'll learn to move with Him in all that He's doing. Take a leap of faith in this time. Move with courage in this time. Grace under pressure. Samuel had to do that. I'm gonna wrap it up pretty quick here. Do you know that this is... I'll go back to Samuel in just a minute. There is a guy named Didier Raoult. He's an MD and a PhD. And he's been treating people with the corona or the COVID-19 virus with a malaria drug, hydrochloroquine, combined with azithromycin, which is an antibiotic. So it's a malaria drug and an antibiotic. He gives those to people, and he's had 100% cures within 6 days. Are they paying attention to that? Yeah. He's making it available. These medications are available. Pardon me? Yeah. It's happening. President Trump last week said it can be cured. This thing can be cured with a malaria drug, and he named it hydrochloroquine. And the press said, this buffoon thinks that this thing can be healed or cured. Pay attention to what God's doing. Listen for the little voice of God. Because it won't be the popular voice. But it will be His voice. Anyway, Samuel didn't like what the king was doing. Saul. The story is that Samuel knew that there needed to be a different king, that God's heart was that there was to be a different king. And so God told Samuel, go and anoint David's son as king. And so, Jesse's son David. Thank you for correcting me. Go anoint him as king. And so Samuel, being a wise man like us, said, if I do that, Saul will kill me. It's against the law when he's the king to anoint another king. And so God says, okay. Like, listen to the beauty of God. He provides cover for Samuel. He says, okay, well, take a heifer and say you're going to go and make an offering. A sacrifice. Well, Samuel says, that's a good idea. I'll do that. And so under the cover of a sacrifice, Samuel goes and visits Jesse's house. And he looks at all these strapping wonderful warriors and has Jesse put them out before him. And there's six of them. And he goes to each one and says, nope, nope, nope. He gets to the sixth one and says, Jesse, do you not have another son? And Jesse says, oh yeah, there's the little kid out in the field. He's taking care of the sheeps. Well, go get him, because I want to anoint him king. And Samuel says to Jesse, God does not look as a man looks on the outward appearance. God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Now be very careful with that, because it's the heart after God that he's looking for. You can say, well, here I am waiting at home. God knows my heart. God is a man of action. He knew the heart of Adam and Eve and cast them out of the garden. I'm sure they didn't mean to sin. I'm sure they had good intentions. But he looked at their heart and still cast them out. Be careful from assuming that just because you had one good thought all day, God knows my heart, and therefore he's not going to do anything with me. I'll wait for him. Be about God's business right now. Let him see your heart in action. Let him see your heart growing with the things of God and not the things of selfish ambition. Be about kingdom business, and you will be rewarded. Hallelujah. So we're going to close today with just, I'll pray for you. If anybody wants prayer, we can have prayer afterward here, but we'll pray together. There's no worship team to invite back up. We've had our worship, and so I'm going to bless you and tell you that you are loved incredibly. You moved with courage, with guts, to come out here today. Because we come under pressure. I was told that I was being irresponsible to have church in this time, that I'm not caring for my people by telling them to stay home. I think that by being here, the seeds that are planted in your heart this day will grow a great harvest. I think that we had an essential service here today, and that you are better for coming here because you met with God and you met with God's people. And I bless you for your courage for being here. I bless the people at home as well for their courage, because you know what you've got to deal with as well. We all have to move circumspectly with God. And so it may take as much courage to stay home when all of your friends are going to be here as it does for us to be here when all of our friends are at home. So move carefully, gracefully. By gracefully, I don't mean like a ballerina. I mean full of grace and mercy. Move as a person who knows his God in this season. Stand with me if you would. Mighty, mighty, mighty God, how delightful you are, and how full of promise your word is. Lord, thank you for the kingdom principles that are there if we pay attention to them. We learned a kingdom principle today, that what we allow in will be multiplied. Whether it's good or bad, it will be multiplied, because it's our choice to what we let in. Lord, would you help each of us to make good choices? Would you allow your Holy Spirit to move in us, to quicken us, to make the choice to listen to your word, to read your word, to get a good teaching under our belt. Lord, It's all about you, and we're starting to understand that a little better. We look forward to what it is that you're going to be doing in this time to redeem the time, Lord. What it is you're going to be doing to reconcile all of this together. But we want to be in it and of it because you're doing it. We want to be available to you in this time. So help us to reflect upon your word and reflect upon the things that you're doing. I pray your blessing upon each one, Lord, at home or here at the church. Bless, 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 Lord. Keep each one safe and healthy. We pray for divine health for each one, Lord, that you would keep that invader at bay and not allow it to take even one in this season. I bless you for these, your people. I bless you for the ones at home as well. We are all your family, God. When this is all done, we're going to come back together and embrace one another and love each other as you would love us. Pray your blessing upon each household represented. Pray your blessing on each person hearing these words. Because I know you want to bless, Lord. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. 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 Bless you, bless you, bless you.